Now, I had planned all of my notes, and I was ready to go. And seriously, yesterday, as I was preparing to preach on what I had planned to, I usually spend plenty of time praying and going over my notes and such on Saturday. The Lord changed my message, which he frequently does, no kidding. But I want to talk to you about something that I learned about when I was young. Now listen, you got to understand, my vantage point is, I was raised in a church. In fact, my dad was a deacon, my mother was a Sunday school teacher, and so I spent my youth in church. I didn't have a choice. In fact, I remember wearing diapers to church. I just remembered. I got a thick memory anyway. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but all those times going to church, I never knew one thing about how to exercise faith in God to do things in my life. Not one time did I understand a message about that, and I may have talked about it, but I did not understand it until I came to Jesus in 1976, was baptized with the Holy Spirit. Let me say two things that you need if you want to run with God. You need to be born again, yes? If you're not born again, you need to be. And then secondly, baptized with the Holy Spirit. And if you're not baptized with the Holy Spirit, I want to urge you to ask God for that experience, because it will completely transform your life. I received that experience as a Christian September 12th, 1976, and it really transformed me. But another huge ingredient, as I've looked back over my life when I came to Jesus just before my 18th birthday, was understanding the concept of believing that you receive when you pray. Now, that was a foreign idea to my mind when I came to know Jesus. But once I found out about this process of walking by faith and believing that you receive answers when you pray. Not one day you're going to get something, but now you believe you receive. It transformed who I am. Listen, let me make one statement. You've heard me say this before. God does not respond to need. Now, that makes religious people upset. He does not respond to need. Well, Pastor, there's needs all over the world. You're right. And every one of us in this room have needs. Is that true? God does not respond to need. He responds to faith. And there's a quote by Smith Wigglesworth from the book Ever Increasing Faith, copyright 1924, where he said, It seems as though God will pass over 1 million people just to get to you when you're walking by faith. I didn't understand that when I first came to the Lord. Now, I've walked this out all of the decades of my life since 1976. So I first of all knew it in the Word, but now not only do I have the Word of God, but I've got decades of experience in having all kinds of needs and all kinds of challenges and all kinds of issues of life come at me, and learning to respond in faith by believing I receive. It's the tenses sometimes that whip us. If you're thinking one day God is going to do something for you, you'll probably be thinking that way next year this time. And it might be the next year this time. And so the thing that you need from the Lord may never come to fruition, because it's the tenses. We have to get into the past tense. That's how God, he lives in the past and present. He lives in the eternal now. Not one day God is going. So I want to encourage you. If you have in your vocabulary, well, one day God is going to do this or that, get that out of your vocabulary. Because that one day needs to be today. And then Jesus gave us some real encouraging words just before he left. He said, "These things have I spoken to you," John 16:33, "that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation." Everybody say tribulation. And that's not talking about the great tribulation. That's just talking about hardship and trials. In fact, the Greek word there is thlipsis, and it actually is a picture word of about first century. Somebody was accused of something, and you know they're gonna incarcerate them for it. They're handcuffed for it. Sometimes they'd put them on the ground and nail their hands down to the ground, put some little pieces of leather around their hands and feet. And then they take a big old boulder and just lay it on the chest. Now that's a hard way. And then so to breathe become almost impossible. Every breath was pressure. Every breath was thlipsis. You imagine that? And that's the word that Jesus used for tribulation. He said, in the world, you'll have pressure, hardship, difficulty, duress. You could use all of those words, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So in the midst of the hardship, the challenges that come in life, Jesus has given us a way out. Is that good news? So believing that you receive, see, that's a real key to answered prayer and overcoming the pressures of life that come our way. One thing I thought about, I heard Kenneth Hagin say this many years ago, if Satan can keep you in the arena of thought, do you ever overthink things? You ever worry about stuff? See, if Satan can keep you in the arena of thought, he'll whip you and whip you badly. And I thought, well, he's had me there a few times. But if you can keep him in the arena of faith, you will overcome in every test and every challenge. I really like that. So it's not thinking and hoping and struggling and sweating. It's resting in the finished work of Jesus. Now, you may be facing, you might be here today, and you just need Jesus in your life. You need to be born again. You may need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you here and you got any number of issues that you need for God to deliver you from? Maybe you've got appetites for things that you know you don't need in your life. Did you know faith will help you be set free from that? In fact, faith in Jesus and faith in his word and faith in his promises, you know, to set you free from that. You may have an anger issue or a self-centered issue or an issue of being a narcissist and all the world revolves around you and you know it's messing up your relationships. Did you know if you ask in faith, God will help you and he'll show you what to do to be set free from those things? And it's called believing you receive. Or it may be you may just simply have a financial issue that needs to be dealt with and you need your need to be met, or maybe it's a physical issue. Most everybody has to deal with physical issues all of their life, but you know, thank God Jesus made a way for us not only to be born again and forgiven of our sins, but also to be healed of our diseases. Is that good news? And all of that comes by walking by faith. So this one verse, and I'll come back to it in a minute, Mark 11:24. Kenneth Hagin was raised from a deathbed in April of 1934 by finding this scripture in his, he calls it his grandma's Methodist Bible. And so he read it while he was paralyzed from a heart issue and couldn't hardly move his body. He couldn't move his legs and such. He could move his arms. But he was laying there in the bed and read this, and God divinely healed him of a paralysis and a blood issue as well as a heart ailment. And he lived, in fact, I went to his funeral. He lived to be aged 86, had a huge worldwide ministry. Mark 11:24 says this, Jesus said, and I'll come back to it. Therefore, I say to you, Jesus said, whatever things you ask when you pray. Now, what did he say do when you pray? Hope it happens. Hope somehow you can get enough people praying for you. No, he said, believe you receive, and you'll have. See, the human way is to think, well, if I get on my Facebook page and I get 10,000 people praying about this, somebody, God will hear somebody. See, that's the flesh. Is there anything wrong with praying with each other? Certainly not. Praying for each other? Certainly not. But that's not what Jesus said to do here. He said, therefore, I say to you. He's talking to us individually. He's talking about our personal needs, the individual things we need from the Lord. Do you ever have personal needs? Obviously so. Whatever things you ask when you pray. Now here's the clear, concise admonition from Jesus. Believe you receive them and you'll have them. We'll come back to it. So you may be facing a huge crisis right now, and see, faith, believing that you receive, it's the ingredient that can assure us that whatever need we have will be met. How many hear me? Now, I need to say this, and this, I don't know, some things aggravate me, and this one really aggravates me. I hear a lot of people talking about faith in the abstract. It's innocuous. It's nebulous. Well, yes, I have faith in the Lord. Yes, my faith has seen me through. But they're not talking about anything concrete. It's a religious phrase. To a lot of people, faith is a religious word. But if you understand God's word, faith is a force that comes from your human heart to Jesus, that connects with him, that connects with his power, and that faith will lift you up. and it will meet your need, and it'll bring heaven and earth together. So it's not some innocuous thing that just allows you just to kind of grunt through life. Yes, me and my faith. Well, you know, your faith will make a change in your life if you understand the principles of it. So that's what I really want to talk about today. Again, Jesus said this. Notice if you go through the Gospels, Jesus would frequently minister to people. He frequently ministered healing to people. Do you think Jesus has changed any today? If Jesus saw people with infirmity and illness and ministered to them in the Gospels, do you think that same Jesus would do the same thing today? Now, you can't see him or hear him or necessarily even feel him. Sometimes we sense his presence, but he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, is he not? And that same Jesus that healed people in the Gospels wants to heal you and me today, right? So frequently, Jesus would be confronted with illness and sickness, for instance, because it's prevalent in humankind. And it was prevalent in the first century when he lived. And here's some parents who had a child who was suffering epileptic seizures, and he was being thrown in the water and into a fire, and they couldn't help him, and it was just getting worse. And they said, Jesus, if you can do anything, please help us. See, that's the religious idea. Oh, Jesus, please help me today. Oh, Jesus. But Jesus put it right back on them, and Jesus said to the parents, to the father particularly, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. I've taken that verse, Mark 9:23. And boy, I've sat long periods of time just thinking, if you can believe. See, the onus is on me. Can I believe? Can I believe that God is who he said he is? Can I believe that Jesus is who he said he is? Can I believe that God will do what he said he would do? Can I believe that? Jesus said to these parents, if you can believe, all things are possible. Everybody say, all things are possible. Is it possible that your financial need would be met? Is it possible that your body will be healed? Is it possible that that circumstance can change? Yes. Is it possible that whatever you're praying for, that prayer answer can come? Yes. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And here's a man who was overseeing. He was in the armed forces, and he was over a bunch of men, and he had a guy that was ill, and he just said, Jesus, I'm not worthy that you even come to my house and come into my living room, but if you'll just speak the word, I've got a soldier that will be healed. He's sick and needs healing. And Jesus said to that centurion, go your way as you have believed. Everybody say, as you have believed, so be it done for you. And you know it's that way with us. As we have believed, it is being done right now. If you're believing nothing, guess what? You're getting, that's exactly right, you're getting nothing. So I frequently ask myself when the challenges that life brings, what am I believing about that situation? You know, have you prayed about this that situation? If you want to know what you're believing about something, ask yourself this question. What are you saying about this situation? What are you saying? If you're not saying anything, you're not believing anything. Or if you're not saying anything, then nature's taking its course. And it'll just eventuate out whatever's going to happen. Que sera, sera. I don't want that, do you? No, I want God's best. I want his promises. Do you? Well, that's what he said. Go your way as you have believed. So be it done for you. And then Matthew 9:22. Here's the woman that had an unceasing menstrual cycle for 12 years. God bless her. And all the doctors took her money, but they couldn't help her. And Jesus turned around. She had touched him and said, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be well. I mentioned it a few weeks ago. And he said to her, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. Whoa, he didn't say, I healed you. He said, your faith pulled the healing power out of me. Right? He said, your faith has made you well. What made her well? Well, he said, virtue. I didn't read the whole text. He said, virtue came out of me. He said, somebody touched me. His disciples said, a lot of people touching you. A lot of people. He said, I know, but somebody touched me with faith. And he said, power came out of me. Right? So you may have a need today. That need may or may not be met. It's based on what you choose to do with faith. Are you willing to believe? Again, God doesn't respond to need. Now, I know when I say that, religious people get upset with me. And you know, when I first heard that, I said, that can't be right. But as I studied the Old Testament and New Testament and studied through the life of Jesus in the Gospels, I saw that's exactly right. God doesn't respond to need. A lot of people have needs. There was a whole crowd of people crowding around Jesus and touching him, but the only person that got healed was the one that touched with faith. And that's this woman. And that's what it says here. Jesus turned around when he saw her and said, "Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith made you well." The woman was made well from that hour. So see, that makes me think, what am I doing with faith? If you're a believer, you're in the room today. If you have faith, what are you doing with your faith? Are you exercising it, or is it inert in you and you're just whiling your time away? No, do something with it. And here's another one. Jesus healed some blind men, Matthew chapter 9, 27 through 29. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." How many know you need to have a yes, Lord, in your life? Whatever you have need of, you need to say, "Yes, Lord, I believe you can do it," right? Then he touched their eyes, saying, now look what he said. He didn't say be healed. He said, "According to your faith, let it be to you." So you know what is true for us too, right? According to your faith, to my faith, that's how it's being done for us, right? Here's what we need to understand. Faith always receives right now what God has promised. And I want to get this point across very well. Let's go there. When praying for certain things personally, it's important to understand again that faith is never future tense. Faith is always past or present. It's never future. If it's future, it's a hope. Hope is a dream. Hope is a longing. Hope is a desire. Hope is something that's ahead of you. But see, faith grabs hope and pulls it from the future to the present. And if I'll understand that principle, you know what? God will move in my life and meet the need that I may have. Yes or no? So again, we've got to get the tenses right. So again, if you're hoping one day in the future, things will be different. You know what? You may not receive from the Lord. Huh? Hope's a great dreamer, but it's a poor receiver. How many hear me? So again, it's not hoping one day in the future that things will be different, but it's believing that God's already answered or is answering your prayer that brings results. And as I say that, you know, I was just so young when I came into the things of God. I was in Bible school. Then I went to Bible school, went to another, then married Susan. We went to another Bible school 1,200 miles from home. And, you know, we had a plethora of needs arise. Constantly things were happening. Constantly we had needs. We needed furniture. We needed this. We needed that. We needed to rent an apartment. We needed to, you know, buy a car. We needed to do this and that. And you know what it's like when you're young? You're just scraping by. Just, God, how would I do this, right? And, you know, when I learned the principles of faith and then God called me into ministry, and you know, God may not have called you into ministry, but he's called you to live a successful life and let your life for Jesus shine in front of everybody else. And how can your light shine brightly if you're moping around all the time, wondering how is God going to meet my need? What is going to happen to me? Am I ever going to get out of this? Is it ever going to be any better? Is there ever going to be a better day? You know what? You can change that to, "But my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You can change that to, "Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world." You know, listen, I was a pessimist. I don't know if you understand. I was a pessimist before I came to Jesus. I saw the glass half full. I saw the clouds instead of the sky between the clouds. You understand? And then when I came to Jesus and found out the promises of God are yes and amen, and that God will do what he said, it gave me as a young boy hope. Hope that as I journey through life, when this challenge comes, when that challenge comes, when this difficulty comes, somehow me and God gonna make it because he made promises. And then I come across Numbers 23, 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Has he spoken and will he not make it good? If God, he's not like other people. People used to let me down with their words. And I had to originally get over understanding that when God speaks, it's not like a friend who says something and then doesn't follow through. It's not like another person, or it's not like an entity that says, we'll do this for you, and they never follow through. When God says it, it happens. In fact, Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be, God says, that goes forth out of my mouth. God's mouth's not like other people's mouth. His mouth is him. And he's a person of honesty, integrity, passion, and love. And he loves you so deeply. He wants to meet our needs. But if he doesn't find faith, he may have to pass you by. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It won't return to me void. His word will not return to him void. Other translations bear empty, useless, without effect. But it, my word, will accomplish that which I please. And it will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. One thing, when I first came to Jesus, I found out God is a person of absolute ultimate integrity. Anything he's ever said, you can bank on. Huh? In fact, it's stronger than the bank. Banks are going to fail. His word doesn't fail. Did you hear me? And see, I have this underlying doubt of what people said wouldn't come to pass. I had a friend, I tell this story, I had a friend when I was, I don't know, 9 or 10 years old. He constantly would tell me, meet me here in such and such store right by the railroad tracks, and we'll hang out and ride our bikes around the community. And back in the 60s, you could. And now you got to take an armed guard with you just about. But, you know, so I'd go meet him at the store. He wouldn't show up over and over and over. He wasn't there. He wasn't there. So he was untrustworthy. And, you know, something happened to me, and that got inside. And then people would say things to me, and they would never follow through. When I became an adult and I came to Jesus, I still had this lingering doubt, because I had so many people that would say XYZ to me, and XYZ would never happen. And unconsciously, I transferred that to God. Well, just because people say something, that don't mean anything. Words mean nothing. That's not true with God. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. He is not a man that he should lie. If God said it, it's going to happen. If you'll believe it. Right? Whoa. So anyway, Mark 11:22-23. Kenneth Hagin didn't write this. Jesus said this. But, you know, his disciples saw him speak to a tree on the way in and out of Jerusalem to Bethany and back. And it was a few hours' journey, and there was a fig tree. He was hungry, and it had no figs on it. It should have, but it didn't. And so he just looked at the tree. Everybody's why. He said, no man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. And they thought, he's cuckoo. He's talking to a tree. They went in, did their business, come back out the next day. And then they noticed, said, Jesus, looky, looky, look. The tree that you spoke to, the leaves are withering up. And then he said this, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Literally, have the faith of God. Literally, have the same kind of faith that God exercises. In fact, have the same kind of faith that I have, that you saw me exercise when I spoke to that tree. You can read the rest of it in Mark 11 there on your own time. Then he says, for assuredly, everybody say assuredly. I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Now, mountain is an analogy. It's a metaphor for a problem, an issue, a situation in life. He said, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. So, you know, that's hyperbolic speech. Hyperbole is when it's an intended exaggeration to make a point. So Jesus on purpose exaggerated. Whoever says, pointed to a mountain, whoever says to this, and there are no big mountains in Israel, they just look like big hills to us. He said, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. And that word doubt literally means to be swayed by varying opinions. In fact, you put your hands out, you got 10 different ways of doing something. Doubt says, well, I could do it this way, 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 all these ways. See, that's doubt. When you're not focused on one thing, you're doubting. See what he's saying? Whosoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, Jesus in that verse linked faith to words. In fact, Jesus said faith one time, believes one time, but he says saying three times. Did you notice that? It's three times as important to say what you believe. So let me say it this way. If you're not saying anything about what you have prayed about, you're not believing anything about what you prayed about. You know, you can have me pray for you until I wear all the hair off your head, as I lay hands on you to be healed, right? Well, that's not what happened to me. But you know what? You won't receive from the Lord until you do something with your faith. You know, if you're a brand new believer, or you're a baby believer, we call it just known the Lord for a little while, I can probably get you healed and get answers to your prayer with my faith. But you know what? Just like your own children, God expects you to grow up and stand on your own two spiritual feet. I still have people, and it still amazes me. Somebody says, well, I want you to pray about that. You ought to be praying about that. Not that I'm not unconcerned and shouldn't pray, but there's some things when it entails you and it entails things that you personally need. Those are things you need to be exercising your faith for, not just always expecting somebody else to do your praying for you or your believing for you. At some point, you got to do it yourself. So when are we going to wake up and grab it and do something with it, right? So I want to encourage you, just don't expect others to do what you should be doing. Jesus here said, whoever says to the mountain, he's talking to the individual, be removed, be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his, that person's personal heart, but believes that those things he says, the individual says, will be done. He'll have whatever he says. And then he clinches it here really clearly. He says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them. Let me go over that again. Therefore, I say to you. And when he said, you know, this is New King James, he's basically saying, listen to this. Listen, y'all look at me into eye contact. You know, turn off your phone. You know, quit looking around at your friends. Look, right here, look. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things. Everybody say whatever things. What does whatever things include? Does it include groceries going up and you got to spend extra at the grocery store and you need to believe God for extra money instead of whining about how much it cost? I mean, Jesus said, and John, the Apostle John, saw it in Revelation 6, said before Jesus comes back, I mean, costs are going to skyrocket. You know what? If you know God, I don't care if it costs $10 a loaf of bread. I don't care if it costs $15 for a gallon of milk. You know what? But my God will supply my need. Is that true? Jesus said here, whatever things you ask when you pray, whatever things, would that include healing for your body? If you get up one morning, you sound like a frog? Does that include that? Bellyache? Any kind of issues with your physical body? Does it include finances? Does it include circumstances that are out from under your control and you don't know what to do with? All right, this might be a little tricky. Does it include somebody else and what they want to do? No. My faith can't affect someone else. My faith is for me. Huh? Now, you know, I can pray that God will influence someone else, but my faith can't go past their will and what they want to do. So when I'm praying for me, I pray one way. When I'm praying for someone else and exercising faith, I do pray it over and over and over because I'm coming against an obstinate will. And I'm also coming against the opposition of the devil because he will resist. Is that true? So again, he said here, whatever things. All right, so I'm not happy with my spouse, and I see somebody else. I want that spouse. Would it cover that? That's dumb. I've heard people say, I want that person, not this person that I already have. No, God can't answer that prayer. That's a prayer of the flesh. Or how about this? Lord, I want this bling car. It costs $150,000. And, you know, it's got 22s on it. It's got nice leather in it. Does it cover that? Oh, God, you know, here's what I add. Jesus said, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them, you'll have them. So, Lord, I ask for $10 million. Does it cover that? That's idiocy. Stupidity. Asininity. Use whatever you want to use to describe it. That is not what he's talking about. It's not selfish things. If you're a selfish believer, a lot of times God just can't help you because you're stuck with you, right? Some of you, I hear it. Well, you're talking all about this. You ought to be talking about Jesus. I am talking about Jesus. Jesus is talking to you about him meeting your needs. And Jesus loves you enough, he wants to meet your personal needs. And in meeting your personal needs, you can talk to him, others about him and how he can do for them what he did for you. Is that true? So he said here, whatever things. And again, I'm reminded of John 15:7. Jesus said, if you abide in me. That word abide, the Greek word means to remain, to settle down, not go anywhere, to stay there for a long period of time. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. That means to remain, to settle down. If you're in me and my words settle down in you, you'll ask whatever you desire and it'll be done for you. Why did he say it that way? If I'm abiding in Jesus and if I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and putting Jesus first place in my life, you know what that does away with? It does away with self-centered thinking. It's self-centered thinking to want the bling and to bling and to blung, whatever. You know what I'm saying? No. I don't even ever think that way. What I think is God wants to meet my needs because he loves me. And you know he wants to meet your needs because he loves you. So Jesus said here, whatever things you ask when you pray. What did he say do when you pray? Believe that you receive them and you'll have them. Now I frequently have people, I hear them say, well, I got it. That's not what Jesus told you to do. Now can I be real? I hear people because they hear me teach and preach and stuff. And they say, well, I'm healed. That is not what Jesus told you to say. Huh? He didn't tell me. No. He didn't tell you to say you have it. He said to believe you receive it. Now see how quiet it gets? Wait, you just confused me, Pastor Mitch. I thought you want me to stand in faith and act like I got it. He said, believe you receive it. A question, if you believe you receive something, do you presently physically possess it? See how few people said no? Let me say it again. If you believe you receive something from the Lord, in the act of believing that you receive, do you physically, presently, right now, have it in possession where you can put your eyes on it? That's the correct answer. He didn't say believe you have it. See, you missed a portion. He said, believe you receive it, comma, look, and you will have them. God's job is you will have it. My job is not to see it. My job is to believe I got it before I get it. Right? And my job is not to say, I'm healed. I have my money. No, my job is to say, Father, I believe I receive. What are you saying when you say that? There is a need I have. God promised to meet my need in his word. And I've asked him to meet my need. I don't currently have that money in my bank account, so I can't go write a check for it to pay for this, that, or the other, because that's stupidity and asininity. Right? You know, I've been through a lot. We sold some church pews back years ago in the church I was pastoring for a pastor. And listen, a pastor came, said he wanted to buy them. And he was believing God for the money to buy them. I think it was $14,000, $15,000, wasn't a whole lot. They were old, you know. But he wanted them for his church. So we sold them to him. And so he wrote us a check. And guess what? It was a rubber check. It bounced. Now, how does it look to have the sheriff go after a pastor? You know, that's not the way to win friends and influence people. So we talked to him and said, you know, when you pray for something, if he hadn't got it yet, don't act like you do. Don't do what you would do if you had it in your hand. So he eventually paid us, you know, the money. But I want you to get it. Whatever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them. In fact, in the original text, the word them is italicized, meaning it's not there. Jesus literally said, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive, and you will have. Them is absent. It's there, put there by the translator to help us understand what he's saying. Now, what is my responsibility when I'm walking with God and believing for something? My job is to believe I receive. That means I don't have it yet, but I believe it's mine. I believe I receive, right? You know, we got 9 grandchildren. If we said one of our, and I've done this before, you know, come Saturday, I'm going to go get you this. We're going to go to the store and we're going to buy XYZ toy. Really? Really? I got the money. And I have the will and I love you. Come Saturday, we're going to go over there and buy that. In fact, my day off is Friday. We're going to go Friday, not Saturday. We're going to go Friday. I'm going to take you in there and let you buy that. Really? So every day he's saying, Mama, Poppy said he's going to get that. Mama, I'm so excited. Poppy said. And he says that Monday, Tuesday all day. Poppy said he's going to take me Friday and get X, Y, Z. So happy. Wednesday did the same thing. Thursday, Mom said, I know what Poppy's going to do on Friday, right? And then when Friday comes, there I am. I show up at his house. We're getting my big red truck. Let's go. Get in big red. Here we go. And we go to the store. And then I pay my money. We get XYZ toy. He says, I'm so happy. When did he know he was going to get that toy? When I said it. Probably it was on a Sunday because I'm, you know, after I preached, I went to his house. Right? So he spent Sunday before he went to bed, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, aggravating Mama. Saying, Poppy's going to get this or that. And then Friday, Poppy gets it. Now, see, that's what you do with faith. And that's what you do with believing you receive. So you see how this works? I'm looking at the clock and I'm looking at all this. But I want to say this. If you're depressed, you're weighed down, you're feeling low, ask God to set you free from oppression and depression and fear and dread and mess. And then lift your hands like you're free. Lord, I thank you that I'm free. Thank you that I'm free. You feel awful, but Lord, thank you that I'm free. Lord, thank you that I'm free. Lord, thank you that I'm free indeed. Those whom the Son has set free are free indeed. Thank you that I'm free. I'm no longer bound by fear. I'm free. Lord, I'm free. And you still feel bound. See, that is the process of believing that you receive. You get it? Right? Again, if you're believing for healing, I've done this thousands of times at this point in my life. I have aches and pains and this and that show up in various parts of my body, and they seem to more frequently the older you get. Have you noticed that? And you know, you just stand your ground and say, no, you don't, devil. Not today, not now. Jesus took stripes on his body for my healing. Out of here, Father, heal me, X, Y, Z, in Jesus' name, and I believe I receive. So somebody asked me, well, you're limping mighty weird there. You got something wrong with your knee. And you don't say, I believe I'm healed. You say, I believe I received my healing. Because God promised if I believe, one day it's going to show. His job is to bring it to me. My job is to believe I got it before I get it. You get the idea? So you're missing a step. See, missing a step and say, well, I'm free. And you're back. No, I believe I received my freedom. No, I believe I received my healing. Right? Believing for finances, pray, believe you receive, act like it, talk like it, praise and thank God like you already have it. Get the idea? And I'm telling you, I've had it happen thousands of times that God just answers the prayer. I want to kick back in my notes here. I just love different translations of scripture. I know if you're a King James only people, well, God bless you. I love King James. I love New King James. I love American Standard. I love English Standard. I love the Amplified. And so I've got different translations here because they bring out the original meaning of the texts in a way. Sometimes it clarifies in your own thinking and helps you understand. So listen to Mark 11:24. Here's the Amplified. Just to clarify what I just said. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe. That is, trust and be confident that it is granted to you and you'll get it. See, that last phrase means you don't have it in possession, but you believe you do. See the difference? There's a big difference. Mark 11:24, New Century Version. So I tell you to believe that you have received the things you ask for in prayer. Is that past, present, or future tense? What? It's not a trick question. What? Past. That's correct. That's correct. Believe that you have received, that's past tense, what you ask for in prayer, and God will give them to you. See, I got to believe right now that God's answered my prayer. And if I keep believing that one day. See, when I believe in God, I don't care if it's for finances, it's for healing, or some circumstantial issue or situation. You know, I go to bed that night thinking, well, tomorrow's probably the day it manifests. And I get up that morning, well, it's probably today's the day it's manifest. And if I go through all the day and hadn't manifested yet, I still believe I receive. Right? I've shared some of these things so many times. I hurt my knee. I mean, I'm a beast in a lot of ways, and I run hard. That's just the way I live life, I always have. So, and I've jogged for 33 years. Now I ride a bike and walk. One of those times, I don't know why, I messed up one of my knees, and it hurt. My Jesus, help me today, it hurt right here. Felt like a dagger every time. And you know, I could have went and just said, why didn't you go have an operation? I would rather believe God. Could I do that? I could. If I felt like I needed to, I would. But I knew that the faith that Jesus gave me in his word would help me get through this. And I believe that it would do something. And so instead of going to medical science, nothing wrong with medical science. If you need it, go do it. I've just found a way that works. And it does two things. It causes my body to become well. And it releases extra confidence in God for me when God comes through, right? So I mean, it hurts so bad. And so I prayed, just like I said, Mark 11:24. This was actually July of the year 2000. That's when it was. And so I believed I received my healing. And I mean, it just hurt. Just every step was pain. It felt like bone on bone. I guess I hurt my meniscus and several other meniscus, whatever. I just hurt everything in there. I'm joking. But anyway, oh my Lord. And so, you know, my head said, well, so here's what I thought. Well, if I believe I receive, I'm going to act like I believe I receive. So I said, Father, thank you for healing my knee. And the next thing you know it, I got my jogging apparatus on and I'm running down the road. And with every step, ow, ow, ow. And I just ran a whole mile all the way around the community. And then the devil said, well, you idiot, you're going to have a whole knee replacement because you're dumb. And you know what I didn't do? I didn't do anything with that thought. I didn't rehearse it. I didn't say it. I just said, Father, I believe I received my healing. Well, July, that's the end of July. Here come August, all the way through August. Here comes September, and every day my knee hurt. I'm up preaching, walking back and forth. 2000, we were in the shopping center. I mean, it hurts. It's pain. It's uncomfortable. To lay down, to sit down in my car was pain. To sit in a chair was pain. To bend my knee, to walk was pain. To stand was pain. To lay in the bed, I had to figure out a way to kind of, you know, move it a little bit differently than flat, because flat hurts so bad. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, it made me grimace. Like, ah. Well, I believed I received all the way through August, all the way through September, and then October 15th that year, somewhere around there, I had a flight. I was going to Siberia to preach, of all places, Nizhnevartovsk, Siberia. We had a crusade there with a bunch of people. And I knew that was planned, so here comes the end of September, and my mind, I keep thought, see, you believe you receive, you're going to get on that plane and you're going to have a stuck leg. And you're going to be walking like this. And no kid, your knees, you moving it so much and running and jogging, you're going to be walking like this. And then I saw mentally, so you're going to be sitting down, and I always get the aisle seat, you're going to be sitting on the aisle, and so you're going to sit down in your seat on the aisle, and your leg going to be like that. And you're going to have to say, excuse me, you know, when the stewardess comes by, excuse me, and she's bringing the car by, excuse me, and I just said, shut up. And I just kept thanking God, no kidding, y'all, no kidding. He's like a few days before. And I just kept thanking God for healing me. It hurt. I just can't describe the pain. Listen, there is a fight to faith. And it's not always easy. If you want the easy way out, you can go take the easy way. I would rather honor God. I would just rather, now maybe you're not that way, but that's what mold I'm cut out of. If I can honor Jesus, I'm going to honor him. Because that'll do two things. That'll get me well, and then it'll help me minister to somebody else. Is that true? So I'd just rather do that. And y'all, I got up one day. And you know, even to get up out of bed, you know, I'm laying there, and I'm usually on the right side of the bed, so I'm laying in the bed, and I'm laying there on my back, and then my eyes open up, and I think, well, I got to get up. So I had to figure out, well, what am I going to do? How am I going to get my knee up out of bed? So I had to, you know, just kind of finagle my way over to the side, put this one leg down, and and I'm used to the pain, just terrible. And that morning, when I put my knee on the floor, no pain. See, my job since July was to believe that I receive. See, God's job is to, I don't know when the have is going to come, but I know, I just know, just like I told my grandson, Friday's coming, going to get that toy. See, God said, if I believe I receive, the day will come that I'll have. And that day came, and I said, well, looky, look. Looky, look. And I did that a little bit, you know. Yeah. Yeah, God. Yeah, God's good. Then I went back and read Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever you ask when you pray, believe you receive. And you know what I did? The next thing, Lord, thank you. If God answers prayer, do you go back and say thank you? Huh? I do a lot of thank you. And you know what I found out? Before the answer comes, I do a lot of thank you. You know, I say, oh God, Jesus, please give it to me. Jesus, please help me. Jesus, please give it to me. If, cut all that out. That's unbelief. You know what I do? God, I ask you, thank you for hearing me. Thank you for answering. Thank you for doing it. How many know he will? Mark 11, 24, God's word says, therefore I tell you to have faith that you've already received whatever you pray for. See, have faith that you've already received what you pray for. And it will be yours. Have faith that you've received. That means you hadn't got it yet, but you believe you have it. See the difference? Just a little twist on it. You got to figure it out. English Standard, I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe you have received it, it will be yours. Complete Jewish Bible, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, trust that you are receiving it. That puts it in the present tense, right? And it will be yours. Bible in Basic English, I say to you, whatever you make requests for in prayer, have faith that it has been given to you. See, you don't have it in your hand, but you believe it's yours. And you will have it. New Century, Hebrews 11, 1. Faith means being sure of the things we hope for. Watch, and knowing something is real, even if you don't see it. You get it? J. Oswald Sanders, I love his books. Faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as unseen. Back last year this time, so go back a year ago, right now, I had some really devastating information come to my mind, and it was that, well, we need to talk because you got a retention pond over here, and it ain't ready. You remember that, Mira? Wasn't that a fun day? And we found out probably upwards of 60 grand. I forgot, we spent a whole lot more than that, didn't we? Like almost 90 grand. More than that? Well, don't tell me how much. I don't want to hear it today. But bottom line, we didn't have it in a budget. And, you know, it was thrust upon me suddenly that we were not in compliance with state and federal, state regulations, that is local regulations with our pond and such. And I said, first of all, I got aggravated. No, I got worse than aggravated. I just got plumb mad. And I wanted to rant and rave about it, but that's not going to do a whole lot of good. I could have spit cotton. You know what that is, right? I'm just talking so fast. My mama, when I was a little boy, used to talk to me so fast because I'd be home late for a date. She'd be chewing on me while I'm trying to eat my supper and go to bed. And I said, Mama, you're foaming at the mouth again, because right in the corners of her mouth, she was talking so fast, the spit just formed right there, little white specks. See, I wanted to do that when I found out about the pond, retention pond. But you know what I did do? I went in my office and said, you know what, God? If you've ever answered prayer, I need you to answer this one right here. And here's what I need. And I told him what we needed. And I said, for us to get our certificate of occupancy and for the city to sign off on all this work we've done here, we spent in excess of $3.5 million on all this whole big old project and the building and this and that and the parking lots and all. You know, we need this done. And so, Lord, I ask you, bring it to pass that we have the money to do what we need to do and work it out that we're able to do it and become compliant with all of the current laws. And may it come to pass that I have the CO certificate of occupancy in my hand, and that we start up our child care and it's functional in Jesus' name. Well, here we are a year later and all that happened.
Amen.
Now did I have days that's like, this is awful. This is, yeah, it come to my mind, you stupid, crazy devil. You know, this is dumb. Why do I have to deal with this? No. It don't matter. What matters is that I believe I receive. Is that true? I got so much to say. What's this? Declare the end from the beginning. Listen to Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, Amplified. Earnestly remember the former things which I did of old, for I am God, and there is no one else. I am God, and there's none like me. Watch, verse 10. Declaring the end and the result from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel will stand, I will do all my pleasure and purpose. Y'all, all through my life, I've started ministries, I've started churches. Susan and I have moved all bunch of times. We've had babies, we've sold cars, bought cars, sold houses, believe God for the anointing of ministry. I mean, Lord, every area of life, and time 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 again, I've said, God, this needs to happen. And I ask you to do it. And right now, I believe I receive. And time again, he's come through. How many hear me? So I don't know what you're frustrated with. I don't know what you're dealing with in life. But I can promise you, if God said he would do it for you, if you ask and believe you receive, he will. I can tell you from the word, and I can tell you from personal experience, God's word, Jesus' words will work in your life. I love this. He declares the end from the beginning. You want me to go a little further here? Listen to this. Romans 4:17, speaking of Abraham, as it is written, I've made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who believed God, who gives life to the dead. I mean, here's Sarah. She's 90 years old. Abraham's 100. He could sire a baby at 100 years old. Well, Jesus, that must be amazing. She can have a baby as a grandma? That's got to be amazing. Huh? And he says, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Lord, I thank you for healing me. Lord, thank you for the finances. Thank you for the circumstances changing. Thank you for this job situation working out. Thank you for this family situation working out. You can't put your faith on somebody else and make them do something. But you know, God can work in the situation that you're involved in. And if you act and stand your ground, God will come through with his word for you. I say that from the basis of the word and the basis of the things I've been through when I've acted on the word. He always does what he said he's going to do. When Joshua and the Israelites come up to Jericho and it was shut up because of the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. In Joshua 6, 1, verse 2, and the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've given Jericho into your hand and its king and its mighty men of valor. How many hear me? The walls were still standing. He said, walk around that thing and shout, for the Lord has given you the victory. And you know, they did it for 6 days, seventh day. Just like God said, the walls fell down flat. And what God said days before, it happened. See, what does God do? He calls those things that are not as though they are. What does he do? I have, past tense, given Jericho into your hand. Whatever you desire when you pray, believe you receive. Get it? And you'll have. God showed Abraham. He said, look, north, south, east, west. I'm going to give you this whole land. And he said, look at the stars, look at the sand. I'm going to give you more kids than you can count stars or sand on the seashore. And Abraham said, well, my goodness, you're good, God. And it took 25 years. But you're a son of Abraham. You're a daughter of Abraham. He got lots of kids. Whoa. Isn't that good? because God Almighty honors his word. Is that good? Jesus, when he raised Lazarus from the dead in John 11, verse 41, they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and it was smelly and stinky because they didn't embalm. And boy, it smelled. And Jesus lifted his eyes to heaven while the disciples were holding their nose, and he said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." Do you see the principle? You got to believe you got it before you get it. And you've got to talk like you believe you've got it before you get it. And you got to smile like you believe you got it before you get it. And you've got to think like you've got it before you get it. And if you do that, you'll have it. Is that good? Woo-wee. So what do you need from the Lord? What is it? You need healing for your body today? Have you got things you're just letting just keep? They're continuing. Those symptoms remain unabated, unchanged, unchallenged. Start exercising your faith. Now, I didn't say throw your medication away if you're on medication. I didn't say stop going to the doctor. See, I have my own convictions and you have yours. Right? I didn't say stop doing all those things. I said start believing God, pray and ask for things and believe you receive. He said you'll have, right? Here's what I've done in my life. If there's anything I can potentially worry about, I just go right back to this. You make life as simple as you can. Whatever you desire when you pray, believe you receive and you'll have. I mean, you know, Paul said in Philippians 4:6, don't worry over anything, whatever. What do you do instead of worrying? Tell God every detail of your need in sincere and thankful prayer. And that's where Mark 11, 24 comes in. Once you do that, believe God answered the prayer, right? Y'all, I've took jobs that seemed impossible for me. I've been in ministry experiences that seemed like there's no way that I can humanly do this because I've never done it before. But I do the Mark 11, 24 thing. I believe, I receive, and then walk into that and God does his stuff. He always does that, y'all. It's not just because I'm a pastor. If I wasn't a pastor and I just had a job or a business or whatever, I'm just working, I would live the same way. Did you hear what I just said? But because living this way is amazing. It shows that God is amazing. I have testimonies constantly. I pray about stuff that a lot of times nobody knows about, and then I just kick back and say, thank you, Lord, 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 thank you, Lord. And then when it happens, it's like, wow, looky, look, look. And you know what it does? It just keeps you encouraged that God is in heaven and you are here and he's watching over you and he loves you and he cares about you. In fact, he's had me in tears I don't know how many times. Say, God, you've been so faithful. You've been so good. It's nothing you earn. It's nothing you deserve. He has a father's heart and he has father's ways. And he's manifest himself through his son, Jesus. Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Huh? He always ministered to his disciples, didn't he? He always met their need. You know what? He's going to meet yours. If you'll believe. If you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. How many is willing to believe today? Huh? Huh? Did y'all get something out of this? All right. Thank you, Father. I want you to do something. Just close your eyes, bow your heads just a minute. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises that are yes and amen. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. But Lord, I pray for every person under the sound of my voice. May every person in this room go to heaven and not hell. May every person watching me online, may they go to heaven and not hell. May they be born again and pass from death unto life. May it not just be a head thing, but may it be a life change. In the name of Jesus.